meeting for Thursday, January 20th. Call to order. I'm assuming we're going to have a roll call first, so let's proceed with that.
All right. From City of Beaverton, Commissioner Beatty.
Here.
From City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah.
Present.
And from TVWD, Commissioner Duggan.
Here.
Thank you. All other attendance will be recorded through the Microsoft Teams link.
All right, thank you. First item on the agenda today is public comment. Do we have anybody signed up to do that today or currently on the, that you see, Dave or Annette, or should I just move on to number two?
We do not.
We do not, yep.
All right, second item is consent agenda, and for this meeting, we do not have a consent agenda to approve. So we're quickly moving to the business agenda, excuse me, which is to approve RES 1.0/PLM 5.3 GPM for construction, and that will be presented by Mike Bridge. Mike, are you still on mute?
We're working on getting unmuted there. So, okay, good afternoon. So as you mentioned, this item is to discuss approving RES 1.0 PLM 5.3, the GMP for construction. Next, please. So a little bit of background, images here of the infrastructure we're talking about. On the left, the site that ultimately 2 15-million-gallon reservoirs will be constructed on, but as we've discussed in the last year or so, we're only building one of those now, so 1 15-million-gallon tank. But associated with this work, there's other improvements related to building a retaining wall. There's a large staging area across Grappelman Road that will be developed in support of this. And then the pipeline component, the PLM 5.3, includes 4 miles of 66-inch diameter welded steel pipe that brings the finished water up to the reservoir and then back down by gravity heading north into the partner systems. Next. So a little bit of background on this project and a reminder of the CMGC process. So we hired a joint venture between Hoffman and Fowler as joint contractors associated with this work to provide CMGC services. That contract was executed back in December of 2020. Included design phase support services, so they participated in the development of design and provided constructability and value engineering types of comments through the process. Part of their contract also included preparing 2 guaranteed maximum price or GMP proposals. The first one, GMP number one, that's one that we talked about that was kind of happened last summer, where we went out and we did a process to do an early procurement on the pipe and had the pipe to get the pipe fabricated. That was executed in October of last year and a value of just over $19 million. And then the GMP number two that we're talking about today represents the remaining balance of the bid packages. And then the contract will be amended to incorporate this GMP if the board so approves. Some of the upcoming dates, so time is of the essence for all our projects, and so there's a limited notice to proceed, LNTP, planned for January, so just a few days from now, and so part of the reason we're having this special board meeting. And then the regular notice to proceed after a lot of the paperwork's done and approvals, submittals are approved, happens in early March of this year. Next. So just to give you kind of an overview of the bidding process, so there were, in this combined project, there was 4 bid packages. The first one was the pipe fabrication that I talked about. And then the rest, there was 3 more. So bid package number 2 was the bid package that actually selected and hired the contractor to install the pipe. Bid package number 3 relates to some ground improvements that I'll talk about later. And then bid package number 4 was included all the rest of the elements. For all the different packages, we used the best value process on two of them. So for the ground improvements and for the concrete work, and if you recall, that allows us to include contractor qualifications and approach combined with the bid value for the work. So it's allows us to kind of make sure we're getting qualified contractor as part of the work. And then the team that's performing the CMGC, the joint venture, bid on a couple of the work packages. So in the case of the pipeline installation, Fowler bid on that. And in the case of the concrete work, Hoffman provided a bid for that. Next. So just to let you know that, you know, we've really tried to be very thorough in our outreach and our procurement to make sure that, you know, anybody potentially interested in this work was aware of it. And so our team really did a great job of outreach to the community, to the contracting community in particular. So the invitation to bid was sent to over 6,000 bidders. We had over 500 confidentiality agreements executed before the bid documents were released. So what that means is if there's a contractor out there that wants to know more about this project and see the documents, you know, because of the sensitivity of water infrastructure and security, we require them to complete this confidentiality agreement. So you can see that we had over 500 entities do that. You know, like all of our projects, particularly the more complicated ones, we held a pre-bid meeting and then, you know, did a thorough job in advertising for the procurements, you know, not only with the Portland Daily Journal of Commerce, but, you know, other local sites as well. Next. So now I'm going to talk about a few of the bid packages. And so this was one of our best value work packages. So this relates to ground improvements for the PLM 5.3 pipeline. And this is the location that's kind of represented in that figure on the right, is just north of Farmington Road. And so for those of you who have kind of been around for a while, you remember that during the development of our design, we thought that, you know, our original alignment on Farmington Road was going to be great. It was going to be on rock and we'd be, you know, happy with that. As it turned out during the course of the design and the geotechnical exploration, it turned out to be much different than that and actually expected a tremendous amount of movement from a seismic event, you know, upwards of 15 feet of movement. And certainly that would be very expensive to mitigate on that current alignment. So we changed the alignment. But in this case, and still in the transition going north of Farmington Road, you still need to do a much smaller scope of those ground improvements. And that's really what this is about. And so we identified as acceptable technologies to improve the ground, both jet grouting and cement deep soil mixing. And if you recall what we did at the raw water facilities, those are the two technologies that were employed there. We received four bids, which is great because this is very specialty work. And very technical work. So it was great that we received that. However, in the review of our kind of best value selection process, we identified that one of the bidders, Pacific Foundation, really was not, really didn't meet the RFP requirements and it was not really responsive to what we asked in the bid documents, in the procurement documents. And so they were deemed as a non-responsive bidder. Next. And so this shows you the bid results for the four. And so, as I mentioned, Pacific Foundation was kind of disqualified. And so kind of how it happens on a lot of these CMGC, bid packages, you get the actual bid amount. But when you review it and you read through the fine points of the language that they provide, a number of times they exclude elements from the work that was requested in the RFP documents. And so there's a process that you go through to level the bids. And so in this case, AGI was the lowest cost bidder. And after the bid leveling to include the things that were not covered by them, so that includes removal of topsoil, some demolition, and really building the work pad and restoring it after, you see that higher value in that middle column there. So that's the price that we'll actually use moving forward. So you take the price and you consider then the non-cost scoring that, you know, addresses approach and qualifications, and you end up with a total score. And as you can see, their AGI was not only the lowest bid, but with the non-cost qualifications, they still resulted in being the highest score. And so we're planning to move forward with AGI on that work. Next. Another best value package is the actual reservoir concrete work. And so it's, you know, this is high performance concrete, high performance structure. And so there's a lot of things that need to be done right. And so we really wanted to make sure we had a good understanding of, again, the quals of those proposing, but also some of their specific approach ideas. And so that's why we use the best value. So in this case, you know, this uncovers all of the structure for the reservoir itself, except the pre-stressing, that external pre-stressing strands that basically, you know, hold the thing in tension. That's done by a separate contractor. And so it's the concrete reinforcing, cast in place, the curing, all of that sort of stuff. And in this case, you know, good results here too, as far as, you know, bidder participation. We had three bidders that are all very qualified. And so we're very happy to see that. And, you know, and for those working the different, you know, agencies, those are all familiar names for people locally. Next. And so in the case of that, the bid results for that, Ward Henshaw, no changes had to be done for leveling in that case, and their total combined cost and non-cost score was the highest with 988 points. You know, they really had a great approach and understanding and discussion around, you know, weather impacts and other approach things related to the concrete. And so really demonstrated some really good understanding for you know, building concrete tanks in the Pacific Northwest. And also they had really a great idea that we're currently evaluating is related to the cranes that are needed to build this work. So Hoffman Fowler, in the process of kind of setting up the work to be bid, assumed that a single tower crane would be used to support the construction. Ward Henshaw really prefers to use a number of smaller mobile cranes, and so we're evaluating that to understand implications on the concrete slab and thickness and so forth, but potentially there's some savings there, and I'll talk more about that later. Next. And so now this kind of represents kind of the final GMP versus the baseline 6.1. So just kind of walking through the table here, the first was that GMP number one that was executed, that was actually buying the pipe, that 4 miles of pipe. And then the GMP number two kind of makes up the rest of it. There's a contingency, different contingency values that are represented. So typically in our CMG sync contracts, there are some contingencies that are held within the contract. And so the ones we've identified as there's a 2% contingency for the CMGC contractor, 5% for the owner, and then outside of the contract, held in the baseline, is another 3%. So if you add all those up, that gets us to the 10% that we like to have when we start a project with construction, and so that's what's represented there. And then you see the project subtotal, and then the difference from the baseline there, and you see that based on the comparative costs, we're over the last baseline by nearly $31 million. The proposed funding for this is to be a draw on management reserve. And so, at the time of this action that we're talking about, the current balance is in management reserve is $45.48 million. And if the board approves this, then we draw the $30.8 million out of that, which would leave a remaining balance of $14.6 million in management reserve. Next. And just to remind,
Mike, can I ask you a question on that last slide before you go too far?
Yeah, sure.
So that management reserve number of 14.68, that is what's left for just this item, correct? You're not indicating that's all that's left in the management reserve.
Well, I'm gonna start, and then if Dave wants to, you know, add on or Bill, but so our current balance, as I understand it, as it exists in the approved project budget, is that $45.48 million. And because this action, if the board takes it, would exceed the budget for this project by that 30.8, we would draw it out of that current balance. And so then the remaining balance for today for talking purposes, would be that $14.68 million as the complete amount that's remaining based on the baseline 6.1 budget. Did I get that right, Dave?
You got that right. If I could just provide a little bit more context to it. So everything that Mike presented there is all accurate, and it needs to be predicated that it's all baseline 6.1. It's the current approved baseline that we're working against. And as you know, we've fast-tracked our early work on baseline 7.0 that will have a completely new management reserve balance to it. And so this is just the management reserve balance for the current baseline 6.1. When we go through the baseline 7.0, a process which will ultimately be brought to the board, this board, probably at the April meeting, we're looking at the current estimates of the management reserve balance that we'd be recommending at that time. It's on the order of $55 million based on the risk profile going forward. So this is just the management reserve draw on this current approved budget from this board. Does that help?
Yes, that helps. As I look at this 14.68 remaining, my mind said, okay, what other items are we going to be looking at that we might need management reserve out of the 14.68? But if over the next 2 or 3 months we're going to work on adjusting that, that'd be great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. And yeah, please feel free to interject anywhere along here if you have questions or comments. So, and then just to remind the board that we're always looking for ways to control costs, to manage costs, reduce costs and risks. And so this slide kind of relates to that and the CMGC process and the development of the GMP. So first, on the left there's CMGC procurement. So we went out to procure the CMGC contractor. It was done through a competitive process. And so again, there was both cost components, cost was included in the selection, as well as quals and other factors. In that procurement process, we established a number of the markups that effectively, become incorporated into the GMC, like contingencies and fees and rates and bonds. And so those get locked in to their contract when we have the most leverage to get the best number during that competitive process. And so, that's just how you get the best prices, by doing it during that open procurement process. Then during the design phase, it was great. I mean, the whole reason we did this is having a contractor on board to participate through all of our design meetings and design development, where they can provide real-time constructability and value engineering input into the design process. And that just worked out, really well on this project. And we're so glad that they were available. Working with them and our designers and our team, we identified that there would be value in procuring the pipe early, which we did. We worked with that specialty sub who does the pre-stressing of the tanks to, try and make sure we're optimizing the design. We worked with the county on, across Grabhorn Road from the reservoir where our staging area is, to be able to leave all that material that we excavate and use to construct the staging area, to leave it in place, because then someday in the future, they're likely to modify Grabhorn Road there. And so we didn't have to pay to have that material removed. We're very careful on where and how we decided to use best value as opposed to low bid. So earlier in the project, for a long time, we were thinking for the pipeline installation, we'd do best value. But really, as it turned out, and because the design documents were really, clean, and it wasn't necessarily, the most complicated project, that this really could be just a low bid for the pipeline installation, which really promotes getting the lowest bidding price possible. We bid the pipeline installation early and kept, refining the risk register. And then, we conducted a number of additional field investigations on the reservoir site. So if you remember, it's the slope of Cooper Mountain as it goes, from slopes down from north to south, and we're going to, blast this large notch out of it to create this level space for the reservoir. Well, to get the best price, for that rock excavation and earthwork, you really want to be super clear on where is that rock surface. And so we did some really cost-effective geotechnical investigation to go tag the rock and really do a better job identifying where that surface is to really create the best bid for that activity. And then finally, just in the GMP development process, you know, our team really worked hard with our CMGC contractor to make sure we had the right level of staffing for the project. You know, we had a good bidder outreach program, open book, you know, competition, and sealed bids for the self-perform. There's a couple items that just, you know, because it's so far in the future, we might want to go and get some different supplemental bids. These are really, really small elements of work. Lots of good review by our team and our subject matter experts, and, you know, continuing to identify cost savings opportunities. There's a slide on that. And then, you know, develop, you know, an approach to deal with escalation. Next. So why is this above baseline 6.1? So if you take that, you know, $30.8 million, it really comes into two categories, three columns there, but it's really two categories. You know, the first is the market and just what's going on in the economy. So there's, that's, you know, that makes up almost 29 million of that 30 million. And so there are some project specific elements, you know, so a couple of the big separate packages that got bid out for both the mechanical, the chemical feed system, and the electrical, you know, the prices were just substantially higher than what all of our team was seeing before from these vendors. We were getting quotes all the way through the process, and it's the same thing that we saw in the water treatment plant. Is when it came bid time, especially in this crazy market, we saw the prices for the bids just being substantially different and higher than all the previous quotes that we got before. Another element there is the earthwork and just the complexity of the rock, and, you know, in particular, you know, we allow the contractor the ability to reuse the material that gets blasted if it's processed to spec. And I think our subs just assume that, you know, to import materials rather than run the risk of processing and using that. And then there's some other project specific related to the maintenance of the staging areas and just some of the increased costs we're seeing, you know, across all projects, you know, miscellaneous metals, concrete, steel pipe, and so forth. And then just the market in general, not only for us, and, you know, Portland on the West Coast isn't necessarily the largest market either, but, you know, all up and down the West Coast and across the nation, is there's a labor shortage. There's a lot of work going on. We're seeing increased transportation costs, especially for things that get shipped from the East Coast. We're all aware of the supply chain disruption. And then just kind of the compounding of escalation and market uncertainty. So you think about, you know, a bidder who gets a certain product and then it gets processed, turned into another thing, and then sold to another. We're seeing that there's markups all the way along that are just this results in this compounding escalation. And then some of the bidders excluded escalation that had to be addressed. And then there's just some small number of contractors bidding on some of the small work, and everybody's busy. And then finally, there's a few unique scope items that are just specific to the constraints of the site and some of the specific issues that contributed almost $2 million there. Next. So potential savings. I talked about the mobile crane, so that's being evaluated, whether we can do that instead of a tower crane, potentially $450,000 in savings. If we can figure a way to adequately process rock and reuse it, save over $500,000 there. You know, originally the CMGC contractor is thinking maybe we'll get done 3 months early, and then there's a whole bunch of general administration costs that could be avoided. And then some, you know, additional bidding could also result in some savings. Next. So that is the end of my presentation. Happy to take any comments or questions.
All right, thank you, Mike. Are there any questions for Mr. Brisch today?
This This is Commissioner Duggan. I had one question on one of the last slides. One of the final points is the flow and eddy. I was wondering how that, flow and eddy pump station pipe and valves. My understanding of flow and eddy is they're in a different location. I was just curious how that works in.
Yeah, okay. So that's that is something yet to be determined. So as you're right, Commissioner Duggan, flow and eddy was primarily developed to support flow from TVWD back towards Tualatin and by the Raccoon Lodge, by the Portland Meter Vault. It's all set up and designed for that. But through the course of the early development of commissioning of our system and startup, our team collectively working with all the agency staff identified, well, how are we going to get water from the different places to help support that activity? And so one of the ideas was looked at, we already have these pumps available and they could serve a really good role, still being evaluated, to support moving JWC water, again, only in commissioning process, from JWC through the reservoirs and to the Tualatin River, basically, just to support that early, flushing activity. And so what we specifically did in the bidding of the project was just to have a bid item that would include, all the parts and pieces that we would be needing to connect it to our pipe if we so choose. And the best time to get the price on that is when you're bidding everything. And so that's kind of set aside as its own particular bid item. And as we complete the process, if we decide we don't need it, then we can exclude that. We don't pay that money for those improvements. Or conversely, if we find that, there is actually some real value to doing this in support of commissioning, then we've got the best price for these parts and pieces that would go with it. So that's kind of what that one's about.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad you clarified that. So I was a little confused when I was reading the bullet points. So thank you.
Yeah. Are there any other questions? Not hearing any. Do I have a motion and a second to approve a change to the Hoffman Fowler LLC contract number 2021-006 in the amount of $123,996,794 to incorporate the GMP number 2 for the construction of RES 1.0/PLM 5.3 project to the Willamette Water Supply Program and drawing $30,828,413 from management reserve to fund the amount above the current baseline budget. Please remember to state your name prior to making a motion and the second for this item.
So moved, Mayor Beatty.
Commissioner Duggan, second.
All right, thank you. I have a motion and a second. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, everyone. The motion passes. So that is the only item of business on today's agenda. Is there anything else before I proceed with information and closing the meeting? Okay, information item, the next regular board meeting is scheduled for February 3rd via Microsoft Teams. There's no communication or non-agenda items for the day. There being no further business before the Board of Commissioners, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for attending today's special session.
Thank you so much for the-